Merry Christmas, everyone. This particular day has sort of grown on us over the years, as Joe said earlier, and we've kind of started to develop different traditions associated with it. One thing is that we have all of our kids in with us, so that makes a big difference, and we have others who aren't normally with us here this morning. That's special. We get to thank the fire department, and I've been trying to think about what's a tradition that I could start to do my part in what we're trying to do on this particular day as we kick off the Christmas season. Over the years, I have been collecting Christmas stories, and I kind of have them in this file folder, hoping that someday I would have the chance to share them with the church family. And I thought maybe we could try to start a tradition today of me just picking out one story each year, all of them illustrating biblical truths, and rather than preaching for 40 minutes, although I can do that if you'd rather. You want to hear a story for 10 minutes, or you want me to preach for 40? Anybody for the preaching? Okay. So, but oftentimes a story can communicate just as much and even more powerfully, and I think that this particular story does that. It's called Papa Panov's Special Day. How many of you have read this story before? Recognize this at all? This was a story that was written by Leo Tolstoy, a Russian writer from the last century, and he actually heard it first from a French writer and then adapted it, and then in 1976, Mig Holder adapted it again. So it's a powerful story that has kind of stood the test of time and has a great message for all of us. A long time ago, almost too long ago to remember, there lived an old shoemaker. His name was Panov. But nobody called him Panov or Mr. Panov or even Shoemaker Panov. Wherever he went in the village, he was known as Papa Panov because everybody was so fond of him. Papa Panov was not very rich. All he owned in the world was one small room looking out onto the village street. And in that one room, he lived and slept and made shoes. But neither was he very poor. He had all his shoemaking tools, a beautiful cast iron stove to cook his food and warm his hands, a great wicker chair where he sat and snoozed, a good firm bed with a patchwork cover, and a little oil lamp to see by when evening crept in. And there were so many people who wanted new shoes made or old ones patched and sold and healed that Papa Panov always had enough money to buy bread from the bakers, coffee from the grocers, and cabbage to make his favorite soup. So Papa Panov was quite happy most of the time. Most of the time, his eyes would sparkle through his little round spectacles and he would sing and whistle and shout a cheery greeting to people passing by. But on this particular day, it was different. Papa Panov stood sadly in the window of his little shop and thought of his wife who had died many years before and of his sons and daughters who had all grown up and gone away. It was Christmas Eve and everybody else was at home with their families. Papa Panov looked up the village street and saw windows bright with candles and lamps and Christmas trees. And he looked down the street and heard laughter and squeals of children playing games, and the faint smell of roasting meat crept through the cracks around the door and window of his little shop. "Deary, deary," said Papa Panov, pulling at his long gray mustache and shaking his head slowly from side to side. Then he slowly lit the oil lamp, went to a high shelf, and lifted down an old brown book. He dusted some scraps of leather off the bench, set a pot of coffee on the stove, sat down in the great wicker chair, and began to read. Now, Papa Panov had never been to school and could not read very well. So as he went, he ran his finger along the lines, saying the words out loud. This was the story of Christmas. He read how a little boy, Jesus, was born, not in a good warm house, but in a cowshed, because there wasn't any room at the inn where his mother and father had asked to stay the night. "Deary, deary," said Papa Panov. "If they had come here, they could have slept on my good bed, and I would have covered that little boy with my patchwork quilt." He read how the rich men traveled across the desert to bring wonderful presents for the little boy Jesus, presents of gold and sweet-smelling spices. "Deary, deary," sighed Papa Panov. "If Jesus came here, I shouldn't have anything to give him." Then he smiled and his eyes sparkled behind his little round spectacles. He got up from the table and went to the same high shelf and took down a dusty box tied with string. He opened the box and unwrapped a pair of tiny shoes. Papa Panov held one small shoe in each hand and stood very still. These were the best shoes he had ever made. "That's what I would have given him," he murmured at last as he put them lovingly away in their box and lowered his old limbs back into the great wicker chair. He sighed a deep sigh and turned his attention to the book once more. Now, whether it was the warmth of the room or whether it was because it was getting late, who can say? But it wasn't long before Papa Panov's bony fingers slid from the page, his little round spectacles slipped from his nose, and he fell sound asleep. Outside, the fog grew thicker. Dim figures glided past the window, but the old shoemaker slumbered on, snoring gently. Suddenly, "Papa! Papa Panov!" said a voice in the room. The old man jumped. "Who is it?" he cried, looking about him vaguely. He could see so little without his spectacles, but there seemed to be no one there. "Papa Panov," said the voice again. "You wished that you had seen me, that I had come to your little shop, and that you could bring me a gift. Look out into the street from dawn to dusk tomorrow, and I will come. Be sure you recognize me, for I shall not say who I am." Then all was quiet. Papa Panov rubbed his eyes and sat up with a start. The charcoal in the stove had burned low and the lamp had gone out altogether, but outside bells were ringing everywhere. Christmas had come. "It was him," said the old man to himself. "That was Jesus." He pulled at his mustache thoughtfully. "Perhaps it was a dream. No matter, I will watch and hope that he will visit me on Christmas Day. But how shall I know him? He was not always a little boy. He grew to be a man, a king. They said he was God himself." The old man shook his head. "Dearie, dearie," he said slowly, "I shall have to look very carefully." Papa Panov did not go to bed that night. He sat in his wicker chair facing the window and kept watch for the very first person to pass that way. Little by little, the sun's rays crept up over the hill and began to brighten the long cobbled street outside. Nobody was coming yet. "I'll just make a nice pot of coffee for my Christmas breakfast," said Papa Panov to himself cheerfully. So he stoked up the charcoal in the stove and brewed a huge jug of steaming coffee, keeping an eye on the window all the while. At last, there was someone. A figure came into view at the far end of the winding road. Papa Panov pressed his face to the frosty glass. He was very excited. Perhaps this was Jesus coming to see him. Then he stepped back, disappointed. Papa Panov knew who it was, the old road sweeper who came each week with his wheelbarrow and broom. Papa Panov felt cross. He had better things to do than watch out for an old road sweeper. He was waiting for God, for the King, Jesus. He turned away from the window impatiently and waited till he thought the old fellow had passed by. But when he turned back, the road sweeper was there on the other side of the road. He was rubbing his hands together and stamping his feet. Papa Panov felt sorry. The poor road sweeper did look very cold, and fancy having to work on Christmas Day. Papa Panov tapped on the window, but the old fellow did not hear. So he went and opened the door of the little shop. "Hey," he called from the doorway. "Hey, old chap." The road sweeper looked around anxiously. People were often very rude to him because of his job. But Papa Panov was smiling. "How about a cup of coffee?" he called. "You look frozen to the marrow." "Don't mind if I do," he said, coming into the tiny shop. "It's very kind of you, very kind." Papa Panov was stirring the jug on the stove. "It's the least I can do," he said over his shoulder. "After all, it is Christmas." The old fellow sniffed. "Well, this is all the Christmas I'll get." He took the mug of coffee that Papa Panov held out to him and shuffled across to warm himself at the stove. Papa Panov returned to his place at the window and gazed up and down the street. "You expecting visitors?" asked the old road sweeper gruffly. Not in the way, am I? Papa Panov shook his head. Have you heard of Jesus? He asked. It's the same as God, isn't it? Said the old man. He's coming today, replied Papa Panov. The old man looked at him in astonishment and slowly wiped his nose on the sleeve of his coat. So Papa Panov told him the whole story. So that's why I'm watching out for him, he finished at last. The road sweeper set down his mug on the stove and shook his head gloomily. Well, the best of luck, he said, making for the door. And thanks for the coffee. For the first time, the road sweeper smiled. Then he hurried off down the street. Papa Panov stood in the open doorway and watched the road sweeper disappear. He looked up and down the street. People were beginning to stir. Families in smart clothes hurried on their way to visit relatives. They nodded and smiled at Papa Panov as he stood on the threshold of his shop. Happy Christmas, Papa Panov, they called. And the old shoemaker nodded and smiled back, but he did not stop them. He was waiting for someone else. He was just about to shut the door and go inside when something caught his eye. Stumbling along in the shadows, close to the wall, was a young woman carrying a baby. She was very thin. Her face was tired and her clothes were shabby. Papa Panov watched her. She had almost passed the door when suddenly he called out, "Hello, why don't you come in to get warm?" She looked up startled and made as if to run away. But she saw the old shoemaker's eyes sparkling behind his spectacles. "You're very kind," she said, as he stood aside for her to enter his little shop. Papa Panov shrugged. "No, not really," he said. "You just look so cold. Have you got far to go?" "To the next village," she replied flatly. "About 4 miles. Papa Panov went over to the stove where she was standing. "Will you share some bread and soup with me?" he asked. But the woman shook her head proudly. "Well, some warm milk for the child then," he said, lifting the baby from her arms. "Don't worry," his eyes sparkled. "I've had children of my own." And he heated a pan of milk and fed the baby on his lap. The child chuckled and kicked his feet. "Dearie, dearie," said Papa Panov, shaking his head. "The poor mite has no shoes." "I've none to give him," said the young woman bitterly. As Papa Panov sat feeding the little boy, a thought came into his mind. He pushed it away, but it came back. So he fetched the box from the high shelf. The pair of tiny shoes he had made so long ago exactly fitted the child's feet. "Perfect. There, you can have these," he said softly. The young woman was overjoyed. "How can I thank you enough?" she cried. But Papa Panov didn't hear. He was looking anxiously out the window. Had Jesus gone by while he was feeding the child? "Something the matter?" asked the young woman kindly. "Have you heard of Jesus who was born at Christmas?" replied the old shoemaker. The girl nodded. "He's coming today," said Papa Panov. "He promised." And he told her all about the dream, if it was a dream. The young woman listened until he had finished. She looked as if she didn't believe him at all. But she patted the old shoemaker's hand kindly. "Well, I hope your dream comes true," she said. "You deserve it for being so good to me and the baby." And with that, she went on her way. Hours ticked by, and people came and went. Papa Panov looked closely at everyone who passed, but Jesus did not come. Then he began to be afraid. Perhaps Jesus had come and he had not recognized him. Perhaps he had passed by quickly when Papa Panov had turned away just for a second to poke the fire. The old shoemaker could sit still no longer. He went to the door of the shop for one last look. All sorts of people came by, children and old men, beggars and grannies, cheerful people and grumpy people. To some he gave a smile, to some a nod, and to the beggars a coin or a hunk of bread. But Jesus did not come. Dusk fell and Papa Panov began to lose heart. The gray December fog was creeping up again, and soon he couldn't even make out the shapes of the few people who passed the window. Sadly, the old shoemaker lit his oil lamp, stoked up the fire, and made himself a little supper. When he had finished, he sat down wearily in the great wicker chair. "It was only a dream after all," he said to himself sadly. "I wanted to believe it so much. I wanted him to come." And two great tears welled up behind his spectacles and filled his eyes so that he could hardly see. At once it seemed as if there was someone in the room. Through his tears, Papa Panoff seemed to see a long line of people passing across the little shop. The road sweeper was there, and the woman with her child, all the people he had seen and spoken to that day. And as they passed, they whispered, one by one, "Didn't you see me? Didn't you see me, Papa Panoff?" "Who are you?" cried the old shoemaker, struggling out of his chair. "Who are you? Tell me." And there came the same voice as the night before, though where it came from, Papa Panoff could not have said. "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me water. I was cold, and you took me in. These people you have helped today, all the time you were helping them, you were helping me." And everything was quiet. The tears dried in the old man's eyes, and there was no one to be seen. "Dearie, dearie," said Papa Panoff slowly, pulling at his long gray mustache. "So he came after all." Then he smiled, and the sparkle came back behind his little round spectacles. The end. I was telling Robin about this story. She said, what's the story that you're going to read? And I was trying to explain it to her just a day or two ago. And as I was explaining it to her, I started to get all choked up. It's like, it's a children's story. What's going on? Like, who's living in my body that's making me so emotional? And I think it's just that truth, which is a biblical truth, by the way, because this is what Jesus himself, the words that are in this story are the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. Jesus himself said that the way that we treat everybody else is the way that we treat him. Mother Teresa said, in the poor, we meet Jesus in his most distressing disguise. The first sermon that I ever preached was on that passage of scripture in Matthew 25, where Jesus spoke those words. I was a junior in high school, and the Lutheran church that I was in had a youth Sunday, and for whatever reason that year, they said, "Greg, would you do the sermon?" And I don't remember if it was the gospel reading of the day or whether this passage just came to me, but I tried to teach that sermon. And I remember that basically what I said on that day was that when Jesus evaluates our lives, he is going to do so on the basis of whether or not we were compassionate toward those people that were in need. I did not understand on that day that I could never be that compassionate, that if I were judged by Jesus on the basis of my track record on caring for people, that I would fail. And it wasn't until later that I realized that the very reason why Jesus came into this world and the very reason why he died on the cross was to pay for all of my failures at being compassionate, as well as every failure of my life. But then, when I accepted his gift, when I believed that he died for me and his spirit came to live inside of me, it was then that I realized that there is no way that the Spirit of God can live inside of a person without that person feeling compassion toward people in need. And so we now have the resources as those who follow Jesus to be this kind of a person. And I just want to encourage you today as we go through this Christmas season to actually believe what Jesus said, that every person in need that we come across is Him. That what we do for them, we do for Him. And then we don't act compassionately toward them so that we will be more acceptable to God, but we do it because we are responding to the love that Jesus had for us. It's our way of saying, Jesus, you've done so much for me. This is the least I could do for you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that you told stories, and you did so because they are the most powerful medium of truth. And we're impacted by this story. We're impacted by it because we live in a world where we cross paths with people in need every day. And we don't want to just feel compassion for them during this Christmas season. Lord, we want to act compassionately. We want to actually do things in a very tangible way to show them love and thus to show you love. And so we pray that you would give us a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit and that you would give us the courage to act on the compassion we feel. And may others come to know your love through that. In your name we pray. Amen.